Welcome to That 80s Show. Who starts with aha? Us. We do.
Oh my God. This is never ever going away. Never. This is the running gag of eternity.
It is the running gag of eternity. If you don't know what we're talking about, welcome to That 80s Show. Dory and I go to aha concert. There's no way they're going to start with their biggest song, Take On Me. They do. They did it. They started with their biggest song.
And you were still in the bar.
I was still in the bar and I missed it. But fortunately, I did catch The Sun Always Shines on TV. Unless you're watching Ozark. Fucking no sun. No sun in Ozark.
Yeah. It's a very dark show in many ways.
Always.
Figuratively, literally.
It is a show, Dory. Ozark. This is my worst thing about Ozark. It even makes Jason...
Yeah, I'm not finished.
No,
spoilers.
No spoilers. Okay. It even makes Jay Bay look ugly. That's Ozark in a nutshell.
I mean, it's not that he looks ugly. He just always looks very stressed. For good reason.
Oh, and his wife.
But very stressed.
Jay Bay... Oh. I get so angry with that woman. I tell you, I'm just... Why are you making Jay Bay so stressed?
Like, you just want to scream the C word at her like Ruth did.
Ooh, spoiler. Spoiler. But yes. Yes. Every week, That 80s Show, we take a 1 hour trip back to the 80s. The stories about the 80s happening now. You know, we're not so stuck in the 80s. We're stuck with 80s people. And one of the people, Jennifer Grey, baby, from Dirty Dancing, one would suspect she's maybe got a memoir to flog. Amount of time she's popping up in our conversations.
Who would have thought? I don't know. Does she have a book to sell?
Well, I mean, she's just constantly in the news. So 2 weeks ago, she pops up commenting on the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial. And we are going to say Johnny Depp, Amber Heard trial, because we seem when we say that, our show does well. So Johnny Depp.
SEO for the win, man.
Yes, Johnny
SEO
Depp.
For the win.
And so Jennifer Grey realizes this. She goes, oh, I got a book to sell. Randomly, she had a relationship with Johnny Depp in the 80s. Oh, did you? Really?
I mean, we did not know this. No. We did not know this until last week.
I mean, even there's photos that go with her when they were in a relationship. I don't know. It looks like you were at the same place as Johnny Depp. It doesn't look like you were together.
This is going to be the next defamation trial. Johnny Depp's going to take her to court to say, no, we were never in a relationship.
Dated. You did poo in my bed, but we never dated. So she's back, Jennifer Grey. God bless her. God bless her for milking it for what it's worth. The next story out of her book is Jennifer Grey says her late co-star Patrick Swayze initially resisted saying the now iconic line from their 1987 hit film, Dirty Dancing. What line, Dory? What line?
So I'm going to guess nobody puts baby in a corner.
Nobody puts baby in a corner, right? We say it numerous times on the show because I hate being put in the corner and I love being called baby. So nobody puts me in a corner.
We have many corners on this show.
Oh, yes. So many. So Jennifer Grey says, no, Patrick Swayze didn't want to say this, okay? Because the memoir is called Out of the Corner, by the way. Jennifer Grey's memoir, Out of the Corner.
Right.
I mean, it's not as if she's only ever done one thing in her life that she's commenting about forever.
It is the one thing that people know her for, though. Let's be honest.
But I'm not saying, I mean, other than Red Oaks, has she really done that much other than, like, I mean, really? Has she?
Well, wasn't she in a Back to the Future at some point?
Oh, it's probably Back to the Future 3, if any. I doubt, was she? She wasn't. Jennifer Grey.
I'm thinking of someone else.
I think
you're thinking of someone else.
Yeah, I think of someone else. So anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what she's done.
She's mocking that for all it's worth. And now in her new book, she says Patrick Swayze did not want to say that line. Okay. The actress said that during pre-production, the script was not exactly ready to go. Now, if you've watched the movies that made us on Netflix, one of the episodes talks about the behind the scenes shenanigans on Dirty Dancing. You got to watch it. It's so good. Netflix, the movies that made us.
I'll get to that.
Oh, you got to watch it. It's so good. So good, right?
Yes.
I mean, it was a mess. It was an absolute mess of production. How that movie, I mean, it really is force of will that the movie got made. And Patrick had issues with the script. He had issues with her. Because he's like, she can't dance. She can't dance. She can't act. What am I doing? I'm Patrick Swayze. I don't want to. Don Swayze. I'm not Don Swayze. I'm Patrick Swayze.
Of course, before that, nobody knew who Patrick Swayze was.
No.
Let's be honest.
He went to Juilliard, didn't he? I think he went to Juilliard, very fancy. Oh, no, he went to very fancy school. And he had issues, and he did not want to say the line, nobody puts baby in a corner. But of course, spoiler alert, he said it. And it is now.
Spoiler, is it? How many years later?
I could hardly bring myself. This is Patrick Swayze talking before his death in 2009. I could hardly bring myself to say nobody puts baby in a corner. It sounded so corny. But seeing the finished film, I had to admit it worked. Shame.
Yeah, I mean, it is the line from the film.
Oh, no. Listen, nothing I say here. I mean, because, Shame, Jennifer Grey, she's got a book to sell. We got to buy it. Shame, we got to buy it. We're going to buy it. We're going to go into the...
Really?
Yes. I won't read it.
Right.
I'll buy it. I'll support her.
Me neither, so don't buy it.
I'll support her. Oh, so that is Jennifer Grey, Dirty Dancing, great movie from the 80s. Dory and I, each week, we recommend a TV show or a film or something for you from the 1980s or 80s themed for you to watch. And
right.
We often have this conversation that eventually we're going to go, one of us, we each select a different film, and we go, we're eventually going to say the same film. We're eventually going to recommend the same thing. And we've come close. We've thought we've come close. We've never actually recommended the same thing. You have a feeling that today's the day. I 1 billion percent guarantee it's not.
Oh, okay. The only reason I think today's the day is because, and I don't know if you have stuck to what was said last week.
Oh, no.
But you issued a little bit of a challenge last week.
Yes. So you should definitely go back to last week's show and listen to it because we need the listens. But what I said is we're talking about the famous siblings or the lesser known siblings of famous celebrities, right? And I said they're Don Swayze, Chad Lowe, you know, Emilio Estevez. You know who you are. You know Emilio.
Hey,
no.
Hey, Emilio is not... unfamous.
Emilio, you know Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen's no Charlie Sheen. He's Carlos Estevez. But anyway, that's a story for another time.
Come out better in the long run, Emilio or Charlie?
Oh, no, listen.
Just saying.
Quite right. Emilio stuck to his Hispanic roots. Very, very Hispanic looking, Emilio Estevez, as I say, the most Irish looking Portuguese person in the history of the world. And we did say this. So we said we should only recommend the B-grade flops made by the siblings of like Julia Roberts, right? Eric Roberts, where are you? Okay.
Well, according to ETV, Eric Roberts is no B-grade actor, Paolo.
Look at judge your source material. Judge your... Okay, no, but I did not do that. I did not... I was tempted to. I really was, but I found a better movie. But I assume
I did it by myself.
No, you'll know that I suffered. You know that I suffered for the segment when you found out my movie. So let's hear what Chad Lowe extravaganza is waiting for us.
No, wrong sibling. I decided to start, and it seems to already be a theme to this week's show. I decided to start with Don Swayze.
Why not?
Because... I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to really challenge myself.
Now, is Don Swayze older? He's younger than Patrick Swayze.
I went onto IMDb, Paolo, and I typed Don Swayze into IMDb. And with the exception of one movie, I had no idea what any of those movies were. Like, I have not seen any of them.
I like it.
What?
Don Swayze is younger than Patrick Swayze.
Okay, cool. Yep. Good to know.
Yes.
Good to know. But but then there was one movie, which happened to be the first movie he was ever in, by the way, that I was like, oh my God, that is very familiar. I've definitely seen that. It is a movie from 1981. Okay? We're going really early 80s here.
Yes.
Like I say, Don's first movie. The entire movie is... on YouTube.
Always a good sign.
The entire movie is on YouTube. It is also a made-for-TV movie, and all the ad breaks are still in the movie on YouTube.
Oh, my God. I'm going to watch it just for that.
It is a thing of beauty. No, it is a thing of beauty.
Wow.
There is a KFC ad in the one break that we used to see on TV here, and I was like, oh, my God, I know that ad.
Wow. What a little treat.
Okay. Here's the funny part.
I searched. Okay, I did eventually kind of skim through the whole movie and vaguely watch it. I kind of got sucked in. Don Swayze is in it for 3 seconds and says one line.
It doesn't count.
I think it counts. It counts. It's under his name on IMDb. You know what? It's okay. It's okay. Because this movie is so bad and so cheesy and so ridiculously 80s that it doesn't even matter that Don Swayze is in it or not. Hello? I'm not even going to try and ask you to guess. Just play us the trailer. I've put the link there for the trailer. Just play the trailer for us.
There's a very lovely lady having photos taken of her.
Fell in love with every man's fantasy. The ultimate girl next door.
Sometimes you just gotta take what you have and build from there.
But can he stop her from making the ultimate sacrifice for stardom?
They want me to strip.
You cross me now, you'll never, never work for me again.
No, I married a centerfold.
Yes, I'm all over that. I mean, now you know, in the beginning when it was playing the slightly pornographic music, it was slightly pornographic. Like, it was this beautiful woman.
It legit is.
I mean, she's gorgeous, like 80s gorgeous, right? Like, no, like Heather Locklear style, right? And she's just having numerous photos of her body taken, and no one's hating it.
Yes.
And then it kind of like pretends it's a movie. That's fantastic.
I'm going to spoil it for you by telling you there are no boobs in this movie, but there are lots of almost boobs in this movie.
It's made for TV. It's made for TV. I expect nothing less. It's called
very much made for TV.
All the T's without the sleaze, as Don Swayze never said.
Oh, my God. So, in a nutshell, gorgeous model. She is on something called the Centerfold Channel.
Right.
And she is Miss November. And there's this bunch of guys and they're sitting around playing cards and the TV's on. And there's this really nerdy guy played by Timothy Daly, who I had such a thing for in my youth. Yes. So I enjoyed this movie thoroughly because he was in it. And he just sees her on the TV and he literally just falls in love straight away as he's on the TV. And the other guys are like, oh, you like, what's wrong with you? Oh, you'd never get a girl like that. You'd never get a girl like that. So he's like, why would I never get a girl like that? Now you must know. He's like really, his character's really nerdy, but he's still a good looking guy.
He's got the whole Christopher Reeve thing, because it's like you're super good looking, but we're going to put glasses on you and brush your hair back and then you're ugly.
And then like make you a bit clumsy and awkward and there you go. So the one guy, one of his friends is like, I'll bet you $500 you can't meet her and like get to know her kind of thing. And he's like, fine, I'll take that bet. And then he kind of, in a very stalkery way that probably would not go down very well these days, literally tracks her down and meets her. But when he meets her, he really does legit fall in love with her. And it's a sweet story. But I mean, obviously, it's everything about it is completely 100% predictable. Like, it is completely unimaginative. The script is completely unoriginal. It's all the things you imagine. So, of course, she finds out about the bet. She gets upset. Then he has to go win her back. She doesn't want to even be modeling. And then you heard in the trailer they wanted to strip. And, oh, the drama. It's not a good movie. But I did, like I say, pretty much watch almost the whole thing on YouTube. So I got sucked in. I got sucked into the 80s-ness of it, and especially the ad breaks. Like I said, the ad breaks are there, and they're a thing of beauty. They really are. And, like, it's not terrible VHS quality. It's actually decent.
Okay.
I managed to watch on full screen.
Nice.
Okay, so the part where Don Swayze comes in, because this is the only reason I ended up with this movie this week. The part where Don Swayze comes in is she's in a play. So you see, she's more than just a model. She's not a stupid bimbo. She is actually an actress she can sing.
She's just doing it to get herself through college. You know, we know that. We know that old story.
Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. That story. Exactly. So she's in a play. And there's this ridiculous scene where he takes her to a rehearsal, and there's this such a cliched. The acting coach is like this old British man who is really annoyed by all the Americans kind of thing.
Oh dear.
And there's a scene where he literally just says, "Is the lighting ready for this next scene?" And the cameras switches to Don Swayze, and he basically says, Yes, in a very weird way. I've put the clip there so we can actually play it so you can hear what happens in this 3-second appearance of Don Swayze in this movie.
Dare we attempt the balcony scene? Are those lights working yet?
39. Let's give him a shot.
There he is.
39. Remarkable language. Can I have someone to read for Bill, who's gone?
That's it. That's it. He's done. It's over.
Now, we're obviously going to put this, all of this, That 80s Show essay on Facebook. We'll also put the links in the show notes. Don Swayze is wearing a black shirt against a black backdrop. And we're not talking being shot in 4K resolution here. You cannot see him.
And yet I knew straight away it was him.
Oh, my God. Now, hold on. I need to check something here because you've got Don Swayze. This is 1981. Okay, yeah. So Patrick Swayze is the biggest star. I want to see 1981. What was he doing? Yeah, okay, fair enough. Patrick Swayze wasn't a film star doing some Broadway stuff. The Outside. Okay, I'll give it to him that they were probably both starting out. So I won't slaughter Don Swayze that much. But it's not a great start.
And the credit on IMDb for Don Swayze for this movie is actor number one, which is not even relevant. No. He's the lighting guy.
The lighting guy. Well, maybe
he's not even acting.
And this doesn't look like a low-budget play they're doing. They got a British director, so it must have a lot of money.
I mean, it's Romeo and Juliet, and like proper. Oh, she's in a real balcony.
Oh, you know, wow.
Prop stay on the stage kind of thing. But yes.
So, Dory the She. Okay, so this is I Married a Centerfold.
I do want to talk about the woman who stars as the
Centerfold. Yes, right. Yes. Remember, 1980s, Heather Locklear, Farrah Fawcett, Suzanne Summers, gorgeous. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
So this actress, her name's Terry Copley.
Yeah.
And she was born in 1961. So in 1981, she was 20. So she was young, very pretty, as you've pointed out. I mean, they did cast her in the role.
Mm-hmm.
I looked up what else she'd done because I was like, no, I've seen this woman in other things, definitely. Now, this is, I mean, we're going to call her the made-for-TV queen.
Okay.
Because before she did I Married a Centerfold, she was in Fantasy Island TV series, The Star Maker TV movie, Fly Away Home TV movie, Glitter TV series.
Right.
Then she did I Married a Centerfold TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
After that, she did Gus Brown and Midnight Brewster TV movie. Then she was in a TV series called I Had Three Wives. Never heard of that, I'll be honest.
Right.
Then she was in a bunch of episodes of The Love Boat. I mean, if you've done The Love Boat, you've got it made, right?
Well, by a bunch. By a bunch, three. 3 episodes.
It's still a bunch.
Yes.
3 is a bunch.
Yep.
Okay. She did an episode of Quantum Leap.
Yes.
She did an episode of In the Line of Duty, the FBI murders, but I ended up going down the rabbit hole of another series she was in called We Got It Made. Do you remember We Got It Made?
Why does that ring a bell?
We had that on TV here in South Africa.
Why does it?
This was a TV. I promise you, I had no idea until I clicked on it. And I actually found the pilot episode, not on YouTube, on a website called, let me tell you what it's called, Internet Archive. There's the pilot episode, which I
Oh God, you watched. You've definitely had your credit card details stolen. There is no way. There is not a Trojan virus on your computer right now.
But the funniest thing is I'm like, oh my God, I definitely used to watch this in my childhood on our TV. It was a TV series that ran from 1983 to 1988. It was so terrible. So it's these two bachelor dudes who live together. They complete opposites. One's like a straight-laced, you know, professional working guy, and the other one's like a total lazy slob.
Mm.
And their place is a mess, and they decide to hire a maid, and she is the maid. I mean, it was the 80s. You could say the word maid.
Okay, right.
So she is the maid, but they called the TV series We Got It Made, M-A-D-E.
Right.
There's no cleverness. There's no pun. I don't understand. Anyway, the point is she was in that. And I was like, I totally remember watching that as a child. So, but I would never recommend it on this show. It's a terrible show.
But Dory.
By the way, I Married a Centerfold. It's a terrible movie.
But Dory, I think.
I'm only doing terrible movies lately.
No, but I think, well done. I mean, that's fantastic. I love it. I mean, there should be no value ever derived from the show, right? But you, Terry Copley is, you haven't even touched on the thing that I saw, right? So you, did you say she was in Murder, yeah. She Wrote? She was in an episode of Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, she was in Murder, She Wrote. I forgot about that. Sorry.
Right.
Of course.
Then on her Wikipedia page, you go down and you look at the references. You know, at the bottom of the room, they got the references. So then the ones that catch my eye, of course, I Married a Centerfold, the New York Times. So that must be the movie review. Terry Copley, mm-hmm. Playboy. Okay, I'm going to look at that. Her profile on ChristianHollywood.biz. Intriguing.
Oh.
The last reference here, I believe my pregnant daughter's boyfriend is abusing her, Dr. Phil. I click on it, opens on drphil.com. Hollywood actress and model Terry Copley, generously referred to as, says she's turning to Dr. Phil for help because she's worried for the safety of her daughter, Ashley. She claims her daughter's boyfriend, Hector, is physically abusive. This isn't, she turned to Dr. Phil when nobody could help her. Terry Copley, and then, so that's now, we got to get into that. Okay, we got to look what that's all about, right? I did a Google image search on Terry Copley, Dory. Have you done that yet?
I haven't, but I have just looked her up on IMDb. No, I know what she looks like now.
No. Not now. Not
very
now.
Very different.
Do a not Google, okay, anybody right now, okay. Do a Google image Terry. Search, Copley, and see who she was dating in the 80s.
Oh, yes. No, I did see this. I did actually do this, and I saw that picture.
But it's not just her. It's not just him. So I don't know if who've you stumbled upon? Tony Danza.
I've stumbled upon Tony Danza.
So there is a picture of Terry Copley holding hands with Tony Danza. Go further down. Yes. Terry Copley holding hands with Joey from Friends. Okay. This is now before he's Joey from Friends.
Oh my God, I see it. Okay.
Go
I see
further
it.
Down. Terry Copley.
John Stamos.
John Stamos.
Oh my God.
This is, what have we discovered here? Matt LeBlanc, John Stamos, and Tony Danza with Terry Copley. What? What the f? What is happening? This is wow. This is the happiest I've been since we discovered Voyage Voyage.
That was many years ago now, but it's a gift that keeps on giving.
What is happening? So
I have a few pictures of her with Joey, with
yes,
Matt LeBlanc. They must have been together for quite a while.
Because he was nobody in the 80s, right? Because he's definitely in the 80s. They're very young. So Dory inadvertently comes in via the Don Swayze back door, finds us Terry Copley down Terry Copley Avenue to John Stamos.
What an 80s web we have woven.
So Terry Copley, not as unknown. And like there's John Stamos arm around her. You got to see. We're going to put these pictures up. These pictures are going up, that 80 show essay on Facebook. I think we need a bit of a break. We're going to go into Wham Corner right now. Okay. Before my movie. We just do that. We just need, there's so much happening here. I got to Google that. I got to find out what Terry Copley's blown the day wide open. Right. And then we're coming back with my movie recommendation and Madonna's NSFW NFTs. Everyone wants to talk about those.
I call it the WTF NFT.
Welcome back to That 80s Show. Dory's movie recommendation made for TV. NBC Movie of the Week, 1988. I Married a Centerfold, Terry Copley. She of dating Tony Danza, John Stamos. Maybe she is an unknown muse in Hollywood, because think about it. How many of those men went on to have like major success after dating her? She could be like this.
We might have unlocked something here. But I just want to say it's not necessarily a recommendation. However, the whole thing is on YouTube and it's a romp. It's shenanigans. It's fun. Just like settle in and enjoy the cheese. Oh my God, so much cheese.
Make your choice. Terry Copley's beautiful.
There's a version like... Oh, she is beautiful. And Tim Daly's beautiful. So, you know, watch it for the eye candy.
Yeah.
There is, near the beginning of the movie, you know, there's not a lot of soundtrack on this movie, but there's a song that plays near the beginning of the movie. And I'm listening to it and I'm going, I know the song, but why does it sound different? It's a Hall & Oates song, but someone else is singing it. I don't know if they couldn't get the rights to use the actual song.
No ways.
So, because I'm like, I know the song. Why don't I know the song? So I try Shazam it. And Shazam's like, no, sorry. don't know.
Wow.
And I was like, what? So then I went to look up the soundtrack and I was like, oh, no wonder Shazam couldn't get it.
It wasn't the movie that just keeps on giving.
Oh, yeah. There's so much to it.
So my movie this week, I love a movie with a story. So I think I love crappy movies, but I love a movie when there's like a bit of a story behind it, right? And this movie is very close to home for us in South Africa. I've heard this guy's name, but I don't follow American politics, but I don't know really what he's done. But I've heard the name Jack Abramoff, right? He's a lobbyist. He's been caught up in corruption scandals, fraud scandals in the US. He's quite notorious, right? But before he got into politics, he was a film producer. And he was a film producer for my favorite production company, Canon Films, right? You may never have heard of Canon Films, but you've watched one of their movies, right? They came in at the perfect time. I mean, they were credible. They wanted to be a big Hollywood studio, just could never get it right. And kind of at the time home movie was breaking through, they were like, that's it. We're going to make cheap direct to video stuff. No theatrical release. This stuff is for the VHS market. And they just, like, so many classics, right? Cobra was one of them. And what they did is they just tied in big stars into contracts with them to just make, just churn out movies. And it was all tits, ass, and explosions. Like muscular men, beautiful women, guns.
T-A-E.
Right? Mm. A couple of other movies that I've intentionally not mentioned that they made because it'll give away my movie. So this Jack Abramoff, always being controversial, obviously gets in trouble when he's a lobbyist in the United States. He was a film producer and he goes, I'm going to make a movie. It's set in the African desert. I need somewhere to go film it, right? First bit of controversy. This is a press clipping from January 20th, 1988 in the LA Times. This is investigative, Dory. Investigative.
Yes.
A Swedish anti-apartheid group has called for a boycott of all films starring our main actor for his degrading involvement in the controversial movie that Paul is about to talk about. Now shooting in South African-ruled Namibia with South African armed forces support. In a related matter, a Warner Brothers spokesman said Tuesday that the studio has ended its agreement to distribute the film because of the production South African involvement. Now, if you don't know, back in the 80s, South Africa, apartheid, terrible time, and we were ostracized from the rest of the world.
Cultural boycott. Cultural boycott.
Yeah, no one was allowed to do anything in South Africa. But of course, if you did, you got the support of the government. They were like, hey, come here. We'll make it a great time for you. And so that's what this guy did. He actually doubled the film's budget. So I think they had a $16 million budget to begin with. And he was actually able to double it by shooting in South Africa because suddenly the costs went down. And he technically wasn't in South Africa. He was in Southwest Africa, which for a short time was under South African rule.
Yes.
So that's the political side of this. So this movie gets made. Right. Let me read you some of the reviews. Joseph Zito, this is the director. Joseph Zito's sluggish direction lingers on non-essentials. Tediousness could have been alleviated by dropping at least a reel's worth of trekking across the African desert, which provides little more than sustained beefcake for our main actor. Our main actor is a beefcake. A lot of lingering shots. What I discovered watching this movie is this particular action star, massive nipples. Like huge. Like they are massive. There are a lot of close-up shots of his chest. Huge nipples. So,
alrighty.
This movie, our main actor, he plays this Russian mercenary, right? Who is sent to Africa to help quell a rebel force that's trying to overthrow an African dictator, right? So he's part of this Russian mercenary group. Goes out, gonna take down the rebels. He then gets captured and disgraced by the rest of the mercenaries and tossed out. So while he's wandering through the desert, he comes across some tribesmen, right? Who then take him in, right. Take him into their heart. So we don't care what you've done. You're here now. You're a man of African soil. And they give him this imprint, like a branding on his chest of a red scorpion, which is the name of my movie, Red Scorpion. Okay.
I definitely don't know it.
You definitely don't know it. And he now, change of heart, he goes, you know what? To hell with this. I'm overthrowing the dictator. I'm killing the mercenaries. Watch out. Dolph Lundgren is taking names and chewing bubble gum. And he's all out of bubble gum. So this is my movie, 1988's Red Scorpion, starring Dolph Lundgren. Okay? Terrible. Shit movie. It's so bad. It's so bad. It's like a Rambo ripoff. It's like a Delta Force ripoff. It's like a Predator ripoff. Oh, not a Predator, a Commando ripoff. It's terrible, right?
Yeah.
But it's so much fun. In the movie, like as a South African, all our armed forces vehicles are there. Like all the everything. Remember when we used to go to the ranch show as a kid and they used to like do those military displays, not quite realizing that they were like indoctrinating us into communism. But like, oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at all these vehicles, trucks, helicopters, everything is in the movie. $16 million budget was doubled. They were able to shoot for $32 million because the South African Defense Force contributed all the soldiers, all the vehicles. They blew up shit. Like they said, we'll do that. We want to show the world our might, and we'll just contribute all the military paraphernalia to you. And of course, there must have been lots of tax write-offs. Huge, huge, huge tax write-offs. So
are there like unnecessary South African extras in this movie?
Heaps, heaps. A lot of the tribesmen are, like everyone's South African in this movie. You go through the cast list of loads of South African, no one that you really know, but just you can just see these are all South African names, South African cast. Arthur Ashe, remember Arthur Ashe, the tennis player?
Yeah.
He spoke out against this film, said it's an endorsement of South African policies and the members of the film's crew should never be allowed to work in the States again. Right? It was, it was... And this is now a year. It came out in 1989. The next year, Nelson Mandela is released, right? So it's like such a weird time in South Africa's history. It's such crap that I probably wouldn't even have looked at, right? Again, if it didn't have this weird story behind it. With this lobbyist who is like been taken down. He's supposed to serve jail time. He's probably one of those like very fancy fed like jail resorts, who funded this movie, made friends with apartheid South Africa politicians, gets the South African army to contribute all the explosions and stuff, and then has poor young Dolph Lundgren, like just a patsy. Like Dolph Lundgren, like the other movies canon form made was Masters of the Universe. Dolph Lundgren was He-Man. He was even Drago, right?
So he didn't like suffer for doing this, like he didn't get cancelled or anything like that.
No,
this movie.
It was before then, and I think he was such like low hanging fruit, right? Because he wasn't this big. Put it off. Lundgren's never become this big star. He's always been kind of like not like just below the superstars, and then kind of then Jason Statham and The Rock and those guys started coming up. So he was kind of like, oh, I was never quite there. But no, he never got cancelled. He's Mensa. We've spoken before how bright he is, but obviously not bright enough to stay away from a movie funded by apartheid.
I am going to go and watch the trailer for this movie ASAP because I imagine it is glorious.
It is glorious.
In its awfulness.
It's one of those that I think he, you know, I said Canon Films, they locked you into contract. So I think it was one of those that he couldn't say no. It's like they banked on him. They said, we're going to make you the next big star. And I don't think he could say no to it. So he ends up in this film. If you are looking for it, I think I've become convinced that Canon Films just allow all their movies to be on YouTube. Like if you're looking for something, it's just all there. I think the only ones you don't get, Masters of the Universe and Cobra. Otherwise, every single one of their films is on YouTube.
Oh, so I could watch the whole thing on YouTube.
The whole thing's there. I stumbled across it because I was going through DSTV, the local our local satellite network, and it's on there, which is quite weird. It's quite weird because you go, oh, it's a bit distasteful. They might, but maybe the guys who schedule it don't even know the backstory of this movie. Don't know that it's like.
I'm sure not. I'm sure not.
They don't know this. So that's your two choices. If you're in South Africa, it is on DSTV, or just go to YouTube, Red Scorpion. Look, Dolph Lundgren is always shirtless, like always. And when he's wearing a shirt, it gets torn very quickly. If you do one thing out of this movie.
Is it because his muscles burst the shirt open?
Yeah. It's definitely his or Grace Jones just ripped it off. Like, we've heard that story before. And the two of them were insatiable.
I so want to talk to Dolph Lundgren now. I want to hear about his relationship with Grace Jones and this movie now. There's like two things I need to speak to him about now.
And he's still the only live action He-Man. I mean, we gotta get onto that. We gotta get some of that Dolph Lundgren action, said Grace Jones for a period in the '80s. And Jeffrey Abramoff said it as well. So that is my movie recommendation. My God, Dory, we have recommended shit movies this week. Terrible.
Wow. I think we have scraped the bottom of the 80s barrel this week.
Yo,
really?
Yeah. So I think next week we need to go a little bit highbrow. No, I won't.
I might. Because if we're not doing this Don Swayze, Chad Lowe, Frank Stallone challenge, then I'm going to watch something arty next week.
Oh, no. Okay, let's do it then. Let's do that. So while we're at the bottom of the barrel, let's get into Madonna and what she's up to.
Nice segue.
So Madonna in the 80s loved her so great. The Lady Gaga of her time, if you want to compare it to that. She's always loved attention. She's always done wild things for attention. But it kind of, like, at the same time, she was releasing hit movies or hit music, starring in movies. So it was going, okay, yeah, you want to get attention, but you're a great artist, right? Really good artist, really part of the zeitgeist. Nowadays, when she tries to get attention, it's always off. Like, weird Instagram posts. I'm so traumatized by that one of her under the bed with her bum sticking out. Like, I can never get over that. Like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just...
But here's the thing, and I mean, I think we might have already been over this territory, but is it because she's older? Because if she was a young person in those poses, would you have been so upset?
No, it's not that. I'm not going to be that guy. I'm just going to be like, I mean, she's not releasing new music. So it's like, if you're doing that stuff, but you're still a musician and that's the way you're getting attention, hey, that's cool. Like, I get that. But like, you're not even just releasing music. You're just being like weird, you know?
Well, she has to stay in the spotlight somehow.
But why?
Yeah, why can't she just quietly go off and just be a family person?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, there's so many like 80s cruise ships that she could be performing on. Like, she doesn't need to be under the bed. Like, I'm, you know? Okay. So Madonna, but you can't accuse Madonna of being out of touch because, well, maybe she is. If you follow the sort of like NFT market, Madonna reveals fully nude NFTs and a shocking 3D model of her vagina. Not my words. This is what's happening.
I mean, do they have to use the word shocking? Oh. Is it so shocking?
So the opening line of this article, Madonna is no longer a virgin to the NFT market. This story pops up last week. Madonna, everyone's into NFTs. Everyone's doing an NFT, whether it be an ape, whether it be NFTs, they're the thing. But when Madonna comes into NFTs, Madonna comes in hard, right? With her, Jesus, with her non-fungible tokens. So she's released a series of X-rated graphics showing her fully nude and giving birth to butterflies, insects, and trees, right? Now, this is not Madonna. Yeah. This is a virtual Madonna, right? Okay, like a
very younger,
yes,
different looking Madonna with very long blonde hair.
Yeah.
Doesn't really look like Madonna. If you didn't tell me that was Madonna, I wouldn't have guessed that was Madonna.
It's like full on, like, perfect. Like, maybe this is what she still thinks she looks like, right? Maybe this is the thing. So,
yes.
When you go onto this website, we'll put the link, but like, we didn't send you here. Like, we put it there. It is not safe. This is not safe for, like, I don't even know what browsing this is. I mean, your service provider could kick you off. Like, I can't make those guarantees, right? In the images, so it's this virtual Madonna lying there on a floor, or lying, like, in a lab, right, with her legs open.
Yeah, not a floor.
Yeah, it's in a lab.
Yeah, she's some lab. Weird, like, sci-fi-esque lab.
She does end up on the floor of, like, an Eden garden-type place, right? But as you watch this thing, first she opens her legs, butterflies fly out, then a tree starts growing out of her, like, Isla Bonita, right? Then it takes over, and it is a super, super graphic, like, close shot of Madonna's regions. And then an earthworm climbs out. Like, I'm not making this shit up. I'm not trying to be crude. I just want to bring you the news.
Isn't it a caterpillar?
It's a caterpillar. Yes. That's caterpillar.
Yeah.
Right.
So I actually don't have a problem with any of this really because, you know, she's very into the Kabbalah and there's the whole tree of life thing. And if you look at it all symbolically, it's like giving birth is like giving life and tree of life. And I don't have a problem with Madonna's vagina. We've been seeing it for decades. It's all fine. But I draw the line at giving birth to caterpillars because I love insects and insects need to be left alone and not messed with.
And yes, Madonna, they have a natural habitat. They don't need to live there. No, and she does. She does talk about she wants to explore. It's like very artistic. It's like very beautiful what she talks about. And I got to say, like, we've been making it crude. It looks awesome. Like, it's really, like, awesome looking. Like, I'm not going to click on anything now. I'm at a work computer and I like my job. So but it's very beautifully done. If you have the guts, we'll put the link. It's very well crafted and looks very, very cool, right?
I mean, also, like, NFTs, I don't know. Like, I'm still, like, undecided about NFTs, but I don't think they're going to be a thing.
Oh,
well, I might be wrong.
But maybe Madonna is now setting the sort of the pace for the next line of what NFTs should be, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not a crypto bro. Like, I don't
porn.
Know.
Porn, basically. Well, I mean, everything becomes porn, as we discussed.
Everything becomes porn eventually. Terry Copley, everything becomes porn one way or another. Oh, God. Listen, go have a look at Madonna's NSFW NFT. And if you still have access to an internet next week, we hope you join us again on that 80s show. Everything you heard on the show today, that 80s show essay on Facebook, that 80s show underscore essay. We're on Instagram. Will's on Instagram. I never get the underscore things. Always throws me. What's your range on it?
But it's easy enough to find.
Yeah. It's all. Just look for our beautiful logo designed by Aaron, our graphic savant, graphic design savant. That 80 show essay, just search. You'll find loads of interviews. So many coming up over the next few weeks. Subscribe so you don't miss them. Dari, should I even ask you what was your favorite? Not what did you learn today's show. What was the favorite thing you learned today?
My favorite thing I learned today was that Terry Copley dated John Stamos.
Amazing. That makes me...
I mean, I only recently learned who Terry Copley was.
Yeah. And now we know her whole love life. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
We should have the Terry Copley Corner, which is across from Wham Corner, which is down around the corner from Don Swayze Corner.
Maybe we can get an interview with her. Maybe we can interview with her. Barrett.
Barrett, step away from that Madonna site there, Barrett. Oh, how's Barrett's eyes? Oh, we didn't tell anyone. Barrett, the chart savant, walk into the office that he's wearing sunglasses. I'm like, hey, future so bright, all of that. The eye infection. Is he better? I hope you're better, Barrett.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. Good. No, he's really fine.
Wish Barrett recovery.
Because the future is so bright. Barrett is fine. If he wears his sunglasses at night, we can be worried.
You know, I'm both angered by that and I love it. I love the puns. this has been That 80 Show, That 80 Show Essay on Facebook, That 80 Show on Cliff Central, or just look That 80 Show Essay. Anyway, thanks for joining me, Dari. Goodbye.
Bye.